Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Congratulations on getting through your 9-to-5. Thank you so much for listening. It is The Drive. My name is Carrington Harrison. To my right is the sports machine, Sean Levine. Directly in front of me is Rob Brinton. Coming up after the hits today, we'll catch up with Louis Riddick of ESPN, one of the best NFL voices in the country. This is why I want to be really clear about what I'm saying when it comes to the Kansas City Chiefs. 913-576-7610. Life is too short to consider a 12-4 season that ended up in the AFC Championship game a failure. Sorry, guys. Enjoy the freaking ride, boys. One thing I'm not going to do, and I can't really speak on anyone else, I'm not using the same phrases and terminology for the Kansas City Chiefs that we did for the Royals. Enjoying the ride was a cool thing to say in 2014 about a team we didn't expect to go anywhere. 2015 was a cool thing to say that when we all knew that that run was going to come to an end. The Kansas City Chiefs gave their quarterback $500 million. The expectation changed. And I've been making this comparison. I'll continue to do it. Some athletes get to the point where we only judge you by certain things. I'm not saying that this season, if the Chiefs lose to the Baltimore Ravens in the AFC Championship game, that this year was an abject failure. But I'm here telling you that does not enhance the legacy of Patrick Mahomes, and that's not what the Chiefs are paying him for. He doesn't get a contract incentive for losing in the AFC Championship game. You know what his incentives are tied to? Winning the Super Bowl, going to the Super Bowl, winning NFL MVP. Because he has reached a level of success now that's all we judge him by. The only things to judge Patrick Mahomes are by that. I'm not saying for you, the fan, you don't feel good about going to the AFC Championship game. Certainly fun. I hope they win every single regular season game this season. But they have now reached the point, and he has reached the point, it's about did you cash in? We don't talk about how many AFC Championship games that Brady went to, or Peyton Manning went to, or Aaron Rodgers, or Drew Brees. We only talk about rings because that's how greatness is measured at the quarterback position. That has not changed because it's your favorite team and because Pat's Kansas City's first son. We are now expecting Super Bowls. Not Super Bowl. He needs to win Super Bowls. Vegas today put out an over-under on 2 over the next 12 seasons, and you're saying you would take the over on 3.5. That's now the expectation. I know it is asking for more for Patrick Mahomes than we have asked of any athlete ever. But just like the same way it's not acceptable for George Brett to hit 280, where, hell, a lot of baseball players, it'd be cool to hit 280. You're George Brett. You hit 315 because you're one of the greatest hitters of all time. That's where Patrick Mahomes is now. He's in that ballpark. That's how we have to evaluate him. That's how I'm evaluating him. If I get called Buzz Killington for doing that, so be it. But I'm holding the player who just got $500 million to the highest expectations in the sports because the team has set him to that.
And by the way, that's a good thing. And by the way, that's where you want to be in sports and in life. Like, the goal is to get to the Michael Jordan level where if you get to the finals and you lose, then people are going to go, damn, I can't believe that happened. Or if you're LeBron James and you get to the finals, people look at that season as not a success. The same way that eventually in Tom Brady's career, if he would get to the Super Bowl, but the other team won, which, believe it or not, happened a couple of times, Tom Brady went home feeling pissed off, not feeling great because he got his team to the ultimate game. That's where you want to be in sports and in life. Now, can expectations be a burden and create stress and anxiety and all that stuff? Absolutely. But based on what I've seen from Patrick Mahomes so far, right now, that's not really an issue. Like, this is exactly where I asked Pat yesterday when we had him on, did he think that he would be this good this quick? And he basically said, I hope that would be, but no. But now that he is, this is exactly where you want to be. We've been waiting our entire life to get a quarterback that is quote unquote Super Bowl caliber, that would give us as fans a chance every 3, 4, 5 years just to get to a Super Bowl, just to have this conversation. But the truth is, you got a guy in 2 years who's been to a Super Bowl in an AFC championship game. So the expectations have changed drastically, and that's not a bad thing at all.
Absolutely. Someone on the text line, 913-576-7610, CDOT has a KU fan mentality now. I love it. That's how you should evaluate the Chiefs now. Think about it like this, KU fans. Maybe a good way of explaining it. Going to the Elite Eight, I'm sure, is a great run. Now, I haven't seen my team go to the Elite Eight a whole lot of times, but I imagine it's a whole lot of fun. You have a really good regular season. Your team's a 1 or a 2 seed. You see your team win 3 games in the NCAA tournament, which is a really hard thing to do. A lot of programs haven't even got to that level. Like, we laugh at Missouri, but like, it's hard going to the Final Four. A lot of things have to go right for you to go to the Final Four. You've seen your team go to the Elite Eight more times than you can probably count. When your team loses in the Elite Eight, do you look at that as a positive season or a bad season?
It's a negative.
And
you make fun of it. Like, they were trying to, if they would have beat VCU, and I get it, it's different because it's VCU, they would have gone to the Final Four. MU would have, every other school except for Carolina and Kentucky and Duke would love to put themselves in that position. But since they lost, you made fun of them and continuously do twice a week. So, yeah, different expectations for different teams. And the Chiefs have put themselves in the position where they've got the ultimate expectations. Maybe not what the Patriots had for 15 years. Let's let Pat get to 2 or 3 or 4 of these things. But the difference that I see is Brady had to deal with Roethlisberger and had to deal with Manning, had to deal with a bunch of other elite first ballot Hall of Fame quarterbacks. I don't see that. Eventually, it's going to be there. There's going to be an adversary for Pat, but right now, for the next few years, that guy's not there.
Coming up in about 10 minutes, we will catch up with Louis Riddick of ESPN, one of the best NFL voices in the country. But before we do that, let's get to the top stories of the day in Kansas City.
Okay, now, from the beginning.
And now, the moment you've all been waiting for.
Check it out.
The top stories of the day, every day at 5 o'clock. The hits.
Cue it up.
One.
The Chiefs announced their new ticket policy for the upcoming season. The highlights: reduced capacity, although no number yet on what capacity will be. If you have a single game ticket and you purchase that ticket through the Kansas City Chiefs, you are eligible for a refund. If you bought it through a second ticket, you know, media.
Secondary ticket, there you
thank
go.
Thank you, I got stuck my
yeah,
own.
I got you.
You can check a refund through them. If you have bought 2020 season tickets, you'll be credited for 2021 tickets.
I certainly hope that Rob doesn't work in the ticket box office, because I would have cussed Rob out with Rob trying to explain my refund and how they got $3,000.
Just give my damn money back,
boy. What are you talking about? Give my money.
Give my damn money back.
This policy seem fair to you, Carrington?
You be getting so mad when you're on the phone with those people. They be trying to explain stuff to you. I always like to say, I'm not mad at you. I'm just mad at the situation. Like, I have nothing against you. I'm just mad at what I'm dealing with right now. I actually think this is fair. I think how the Chiefs are handling it makes perfect sense. Everybody is not going to be able to go to the Chiefs game this year. I would love to create a scenario for everybody to go to Chiefs games that wants to go. But that's just not the world that we live in, and the Chiefs know it. I would even love a scenario where half of you get to go to the games that want to go. I don't even think that's a realistic scenario. We just saw the Baltimore Ravens today, who their stadium capacity is 71,000. They're going to cap it at 14,000 people. So in this scenario, to quote Bomani Jones, some people are going to be mad, and that's going to happen here in this scenario. I think the plan they have come up with is probably the fairest way to help people get tickets for this upcoming season, if you're even allowed to go at all.
The most fair way to do it has to be some sort of seniority. So if you've had tickets to Chiefs games since they moved to Arrowhead Stadium, well, then you should probably get to go see them play, especially in that Thursday night game coming off the Super Bowl to start the season against Deshaun Watson, raise the flag, put on the rings, opposed to the guy that's been a season ticket holder since, I don't know, the Chiefs drafted Patrick Mahomes a few years ago. Like, there's a difference in those two season ticket holders. I only think it's fair. The problem is, the world we live in right now, there's not really a lot of fair in the sense that we've gotten used to. So, unfortunately, a lot of people that have been waiting their entire life, that didn't have enough money to go to Miami and watch this team in the Super Bowl, and were planning on just taking their season ticket they've had for the last 10 years and sitting in their seat and watching that flag go up and the ring go on and Pat beat down Deshaun one more time on that Thursday night. I hate to tell you, because there's a lot of people that are listening right now, you're either not going to be able to go, or you're going to have to fork over a lot of money, because let's say that the Chiefs limit the capacity to anything close to what Baltimore did. So the Chiefs, Arrowhead seats a little bit more than the Ravens stadium. Ravens seat about 71, Chiefs seat about 78. So let's add 2,000 more people. Let's say 16,000 people can get into Arrowhead for that first Thursday night game. That means a lot of people that we're expecting to can't. So that secondary ticket market, Rob, that you were talking about or trying to, that's gonna absolutely boom. Can you imagine how much that ticket's going to go for if only 15,000 people can be there on that first Thursday night? I'm talking about $1,000 to get in the top row.
Two. Dennis Dodd was on CBS Sports HQ earlier today discussing the cancellation of these fall sports by the Ivy League.
So the question then becomes, is it a precursor to what the Power Five and FBS might do? And I reached out to a Power Five athletic director today via text, and he gave an interesting analogy. He said, just because a rooster crows at sunrise doesn't mean the rooster caused the sunrise. He said, quote, it will have no effect on the power schools, on the FBS schools. He said, we may end up there, but it's not because of what the Ivy's doing today.
Sean, do you believe that this is the path the Power Five will eventually take by not playing sports in the fall?
Yes, because I went to a Big 12 school, not an Ivy League school, and I know one thing about the Ivy League, Rob, and those people are smarter than the people that I went to school with. In general, they are. So remember who actually decided that they weren't going to play their conference tournament in basketball, and they were just going to send whoever to the NCAA tournament? It was the Ivy League, and the Ivy League was the one who said, no, we're not going to play at all. So I'm listening to them. It feels like they're kind of at the forefront of this, and those are a lot of smart people. So I wouldn't be surprised if the Ivy League starts and the Pac-12 follows and the Big 12, the Big 10, the SEC, and all that. So, yeah, where there's smoke, there's fire. And there's a lot of smart people out there, Brown and Princeton and Columbia. I'm listening to what they say.
I think that football this year is going to sort of be like how the country is. We aren't all on the same page about restarting these activities. I said this back in May. I don't think there's going to be a traditional college football champion this year because I don't think everyone's going to play at the same time. I do look at the Pac-12. If you want to look at any of those Power Five conferences that's most likely to play their football in the spring, I think it's the Pac-12. How legitimate can the championship? How legitimate can this year's champion be if one team has opted out of the traditional season? I think this is going to be, again, a much like society where some people are playing football in the fall and they're trying to give it a go and they're hoping that they can balance it enough to get to the end, while some schools are going to play in the spring because they have the ability to do so. Football season doesn't have to be played in the fall. They just have to finish by the end of the school year to try to get as much money. You could also make a pretty strong point. It would be in the best interest to move to spring because that's when we think that full fans will be able to go and attend these games. So I think there's a lot of common sense involved in moving to spring, but I'm assuming to move a sport an entire semester takes a lot more than ideas.
Yeah, it doesn't have to happen in the fall or the spring. It just has to happen at the same time. We can't have certain teams saying we want to play now, we're not going to play till then, because the way that a lot of these teams become bowl eligible is by beating teams like the Ivy League schools or like my Kansas Jayhawks. And if those teams aren't on the schedule, then they completely change the balance of power in the national champion. So you're right. We're definitely going to get some hokey champions this year, probably in every single sport. Three.
The NFLPA informed its board representatives yesterday that the NFL proposed a 35% cut player salary that will be held in escrow. Carrington, how close are we seeing the NFL have the same fight we saw baseball have?
Hold on here. This is what you guys think. Turn the music down. This is what people think. People think the NFL players are going to be cool with the owners holding 35% of their salary. That's what the owners think? That's going to fly? Like that people think. I know we all want football here, but come on now. I know they make a lot of money to play a kid's game, but knowing the health risk about the NFL associated with it, we think that the players are going to be fine with the, hey, you guys play now and take 65% of it, and we got you down the road on the rest of it. No, that is not going to fly. So, yes, I do think we are headed to a very similar argument that we saw with Major League Baseball, and it's going to be very different because some of America was like, eh, I don't really care if baseball starts. everybody care if the NFL starts. This is going to be a much different fight.
If the NFL doesn't start, then our already downtrodden society is going to look a lot worse than it does. Like, you think it feels like it's been gray outside a lot since coronavirus? Every single day is going to feel like a thunderstorm. It's going to be brutal if there's no NFL. Like, if you tell me there's no NASCAR, no tennis, and no golf, and no baseball, and no basketball, then, you know, even as a guy with the worst nickname in the history of radio, the sports machine, I can still deal with it. But if you tell me there's not going to be any football, no, I can't handle that. So, yeah, I do think that the players are going to end up, they might not get 100% of their salaries, but they're going to do better than baseball did because of everything that you just said. The risk that's involved, the eyeballs that are on it, the gambling money that's involved, the red zone channel, all that stuff. So, again, I don't know if every single player is going to get every single penny they were due, but I don't think it's going to be a fight like baseball was. I at least hope it's not a fight like baseball was.
Coming up in just a little bit, we'll talk some Royals baseball as I continue to grow stronger and stronger in my hope that the Royals actually have a chance to shock the world this upcoming baseball season. But let's head to the phone lines right now to catch up with one of the best NFL voices in the country. His name is Lewis Riddick, to talk about Patrick Mahomes' contract and what that could potentially mean for Chris Jones. Lewis, really appreciate you coming on today.
Sure, absolutely. Thanks for having me.
No, we appreciate it. Let's start with this. You have been as high on Mahomes as any media member. When was the first time that you thought Mahomes had a chance to be one of those special, once-in-a-lifetime type players?
Well, look, I knew he had a shot, you know, on draft night when Kansas City traded up in order to take him, just because of how I know that Andy views quarterback play and how he views quarterback education, how he's going to bring him along. So obviously he had a shot there. Look, I had no idea Pat would be this good until talking to Brett Veach, who I've known for a long time, obviously the general manager down there, who from the very first mini camp, you know, he sent me some clips and said, look, take a look at this. Take a look at what this guy's doing already. And this is, I mean, he's just basically a puppy out here just trying to learn, you know, what he's supposed to be doing. And he was blowing people's minds and had people turning their heads right from the get-go. And then, you know, obviously I talk to those guys all the time. So, when, you know, as we communicate, and he's just saying, look, I'm just telling you, this, he's got it as far as his mental makeup, as far as his intelligence, obviously his work ethic, obviously his natural physical skills, and he's sitting behind Alex Smith, who's like the ultimate pro, a pro's pro, and he has some of the best coaching in the NFL, and we're going to give him all the weapons in the world. I think, you know, when it comes time, when this guy obviously gets on the field, and he actually starts playing, I think it's just going to be something special. And we talked about it all the time, and we continue to just discuss how he was coming along. And then you saw when he played in his rookie year at the end of the season against the Broncos out there in Denver, it was just like, damn. I mean, this is it is what it is. So, I mean, I think from there you knew the sky was going to be the limit. And I don't even know if the sky is the limit at this point.
You bring up the sky's the limit. That certainly is the case for this contract. You've seen it on both sides as a player and as a front office. How would you deem the overall significance of this deal to get that much guaranteed money and the overall length of the contract?
Well, I think what it speaks to is this. Look, obviously Patrick wants the security and he wants to be compensated, you know, in a manner which befits his skills and what he means, not only to Kansas City and to the NFL. And I think the life of the contract, it will do that. Obviously, there's people who are going to say, well, he should have never signed the deal that long. He should have been, you know, he should have been demanding of a contract that would have allowed him to go back to the bargaining table and renegotiate again much sooner. And that's fine. Obviously, that would have put Kansas City in a salary cap situation that wouldn't allow them then to maybe do some of the things and have the same kind of flexibility that they can have now. Patrick was aware of that. He was aware of the fact that, look, I can take one of two approaches to this. I can either, absolutely just, you know, take them for everything and they will probably give it to me because I'm Pat Mahomes and I'm the face of the NFL, or I can get the kind of security that is generational and that's going to take care of many, many generations of my family now, as well as giving them some flexibility with the length of the contract and the way the contract is structured, for them to be able to keep my boys around me here and continue to bring talent in around me. So not only am I going to be awful rich and put up big numbers, but we're going to win football games. And I'm going to go down as one of, not just one of the greatest talents, but one of the greatest winners. That's important to him, obviously. He's let that be known, obviously. So I think it's a win-win for him, for his family, for the Chiefs, that he has the awareness at such a young age to say, this is what I want my legacy to be. My legacy is not going to be, I don't want to necessarily just be the guy who absolutely just blasted the salary cap all to hell for the Kansas City Chiefs because I could. I wanted to get my money, obviously, but I also want to win. That kind of maturity is rare. That kind of outlook is rare because in a world right now that is characterized by what is good for me and what's good for me is good for me, he wasn't like that. And that's why I think you're seeing universally across the board people praise this young man and everybody is so damn happy for him because he understands that and he's rare. He is a unicorn when it comes to that. And that's why Kansas City has hit the jackpot and everybody down there who puts on Kansas City Red and goes to those games, you ought to be thanking your lucky stars that Brett Veach convinced Andy Reid that we need to move up to the 10th spot and draft this young man because you have hit the jackpot and you have something the likes of which maybe we haven't seen in this league before and may not see for a long time again. And that's not hyperbole. That's really how I feel about the situation.
Louis Riddick here on The Drive. As CDOT was saying, you were one of the first real prominent media members to be all in on Patrick Mahomes. Now, certainly he's better than any of us could have expected. We had him on the show yesterday, and I asked him, and he said, yeah, you know, I didn't think I was going to be this good this quick. But I know part of your job, man, is to kind of play Switzerland, and you can't talk about your favorites. Can you submit now, since it's just me, you, and Carrington, nobody else is listening, that the Chiefs are your favorite team, right?
They have some of my favorite people, that's for sure. Look, I mean, I've known Brett Veach for a long, long time. When Brett was just trying to figure out what he wanted to do in the NFL, let alone be a general manager. Known Andy for a long time. Have a lot of good discussions with him both about football and about life. Vic Burkholder, the trainer down there. I've known him since I was 19 years old. He was my trainer when I was at Pitt. When Doug Peterson, I know him. I know Matt Nagy. You guys aren't there anymore, but I've known all these guys. They were all there. So there's a connection. There's a special connection to that place unlike any other because of my history. I mean, it's a people business. That's the one thing Andy says all the time. It's a people business.
Speaking of some of those other guys and other teams, what does yesterday's contract for Pat mean, if anything, for guys like Dak and Deshaun and Lamar? Because they're next in line and they're going to get paid, but they're also not Patrick Mahomes.
It's an interesting situation because, again, like I said, he is kind of a unicorn. Nobody talks about the other players that they talk about Pat, and they get it. Although they would, you know, I'm sure they're not going to feel as though they're taking a backseat to him. I mean, the truth of the matter is, you know, it's probably unanimous. You know, anybody who was being objective about it, if they wanted, if you could only pick one quarterback to start your franchise with, it'd be 100% across the board, be Pat Mahomes. Now, that being said, obviously, you know, Dak's going to look at some Pat numbers and try to tailor his contract to where it is reflective of how he feels he stacks up in the hierarchy of quarterbacks. He's going to want to be paid right up underneath Pat as close as possible. I'm sure the Cowboys are looking at it saying, hey, look, we kind of had this sticking point as far as us wanting a 5-year deal, wanting a 4-year deal. Well, look, this guy right here, he signed a 10-year extension. They have him under control for 12 years. And you're complaining about 5 years? So it's going to be, you know, it could have an effect for a positive effect for both sides. But at the same time, I don't really think it's a very relevant comparable only because if I had a quarterback or a player coming to me saying, hey, look, well, this is what Pat McCoy, I would just stop right there. Okay. We're talking about someone who's a Super Bowl MVP, Super Bowl winner and an MVP of the league who is doing things that no one's ever done in this league before. That's not a very relevant comparable, although I get where you're coming from. So it'll make the conversations interesting for all those guys when they go in there and as they're trying to get their deals done. But I think as a front office person, I would be very, very, you know, quick to point out you're not Pat Mahomes.
Right now we're talking to Louis Riddick of ESPN for a couple of more minutes. Speaking of getting a deal done, we are 1 week away from the Chiefs needing to make a decision on Chris Jones. What do you think this Patrick Mahomes contract means for him long term? And also, what percentage chance do you think the Chiefs and Chris Jones get a deal done here in the next 7 days?
Yeah, I can guarantee that Brett is working overtime to try and get this done. I know he wants to get it done. I know they consider Chris to be an integral part of what they're doing overall franchise-wise. And it was something that they have been trying to do, and they will work right up to the 11th hour and 59th minute to get it done. So what's the percentage chance? I mean, I would say it's greater than 50% that they still try to get the deal done, or that they can get the deal done. Obviously, it takes two to tango. Chris views himself as an elite interior pass rusher, an elite pass rusher overall. Okay, so he sees his market value one place at one level. Brett and the crew are going to see it at another level. Hopefully they can strike a deal, because there's no doubt. I know they love him. I know Brett wants him on the football team. I know he wants him to stay on the football team for a long time. It's just a matter of making the right deal. And I know they'll work to try and get that done, and hopefully it is done here before the 15th. And like I said, I think it's to borrow maybe it's the commissioner's phrase, more likely than not that they get it done. Let's put it that way.
Lewis, one off-the-field question here. I feel like the NFL is headed towards a very similar national conversation that we saw with Major League Baseball. I'm sure you kept up with the back and forth between the NFL Players Association and the owners. What concerns do you have about the NFL season starting on time here in 2 months?
Yeah, I mean, we're right up against it right now. It really does feel as though, you know, teams are not quite sure, you know, what things are supposed to look like or what things are going to look like as far as training camp preseason is concerned, and how that obviously affects their planning going into this. I mean, training camps are supposed to open in a matter of weeks. Players don't sound like they're very comfortable with how things are looking from a procedure standpoint at this point in time. I know talking to some of my guys around the league from a coaching perspective, they're not nearly as far along in their planning as they typically would like to be at this point. And I mean, it's gonna be interesting. I mean, I would not be shocked to see things get pushed back. I would not be shocked to see the preseason be wiped out totally. I would not be shocked if the regular season was pushed back. But that's me not being involved intimately in those discussions, but just from hearing the things that I am hearing about how slow things are coming along and how much uncertainty there is. There's a lot more questions than there are answers at this point. And that's not a good thing, and I'm hearing that across the board. So there's a lot of work to be done on both sides in order to pull this off and get it going at the on time and at the time that everyone says it's going to commence. So we'll see. I mean, as a broadcaster, obviously we want to know too, because we have our own plans that, you know, that we're trying to make to make sure we cover the season the way, you know, we want to cover the season. So the more answers that they find out and figure out, the better for everyone involved, because I think we all want to get back to seeing some football, and they want to get back to playing it. They just want to be safe about it, and there's a lot of work yet to be done.
Lewis, last question here really quick. Vegas actually has Patrick Mahomes' future Super Bowls under this contract at 1.5. I'm going to assume you're going to take the over, given how high you're on Mahomes.
Yeah, man. Yeah, I'm going over that. I haven't made my predictions yet for the season, but it's probably a safe bet to say that, they'll be in the AFC Championship again this year. I mean, Baltimore's going to give them a run, and Baltimore is stacked. There's no question about that. Those two right there, maybe, I mean, without a doubt, they're in the top 3 to 4 teams in the NFL anyway, Kansas City and Baltimore. So, but Pat's going to get a few more runs at it. He'll put a few more rings on his finger before it's all said and done, no question.
And that was Lewis Riddick, one of the most respected voices in the NFL of ESPN. Lewis, appreciate your time. Thanks a lot for coming on today.
You got it, man. All right.
We got a lot coming up in the last 30 minutes of the show. We'll react to what Lewis Riddick had to say and talk about Chris Jones, as we are now 7 days away from the Chiefs having to make a long-term decision on Chris Jones' contract. We'll also talk about the Kansas City Royals, and more people are starting to hop on the bandwagon than I am the conductor of, and we'll go inside the mind of the machine. That's all coming up on The Drive on 610 Sports Radio and the radio.com app.
The Drive, weekdays 2 to 6.
We got a lot to get to in a short period of time. You're listening to The Drive on 610 Sports Radio, 610sports.com, and the radio.com app. I want to replay for you guys what Lewis Riddick had to say about Chris Jones and coming to a contract if you missed it. We are now officially 1 week away from when Chris Jones and the Chiefs would have to agree on a long-term deal. If they do not come to an agreement by next Wednesday at 4 o'clock, then he has to play under the franchise tag, or stay at home and don't play. Those are the only options he has if he does not come to a long-term agreement by this time next week. Here's what Lewis Riddick said on a likelihood that a deal could get done.
Yeah, I can guarantee you Brett is working overtime to try and get this done. I know he wants to get it done. I know they consider Chris to be an integral part of what they're doing overall franchise-wise. And it was something that they have been trying to do, and they will work right up to the 11th hour and 59th minute to get it done. So what's the percentage chance? I mean, I would say it's greater than 50% that they still try to get the deal done or that they can get the deal done. Obviously, it takes two to tango. Chris views himself as an elite interior pass rusher, an elite pass rusher overall. Okay, so he sees his market value one place at one level. Brett and the crew are going to see it at another level. Hopefully they can strike a deal because there's no doubt. I know they love him. I know Brett wants him on the football team. I know he wants him to stay on the football team for a long time.
Let's go around the room and ask this very simple question. We're a week away. What percentage chance do you give the Chiefs and Chris Jones from crossing the bridge that appears to exist between those two and coming to a long-term agreement?
What's our station number? 610, so somewhere between 6% and 10%. So I'll call it 8%, Rob, is the chances that Chris Jones signs a long-term deal with the Chiefs in the next week.
No one knows Andy Reid or Brett Veach in the media better than Lewis Riddick, and his confidence gives me confidence. 35%.
I'm going to put mine at 30% for this reason. I think if Chris Jones is hell-bent on getting market value, there's a 0% chance. There is no way, I think, in the next 7 days, the Chiefs are coming to a five-year contract for Chris Jones for $100 million and giving him $60 million guaranteed. If that's the hope here, Chris Jones can go ahead and save it and just go ahead and report to work right now or wait until a day before the game because they're not coming to that agreement. But I think there's a chance that Chris Jones and his ownership group look at it like this. You call up Brett Veach and you say, hey, you know that I want to be in Kansas City long-term. I saw Pat just signed. The core of this team is in place. I think we have a chance to win multiple Super Bowls. I want to be a part of that. What's the best offer that you'll give me to stay in Kansas City? And then Brett Veach says, I'll call you back. And he maybe calls Clark, or maybe they Zoom, and he says, you know what? We'll give you $18 million a year, which is below market value. And that would mean that he's not going to get the guaranteed money that he wants. He's also not going to get paid what Frank Clark just got last season. But you can take guaranteed money and you can take financial certainty during a time where there's not a lot of that going around. I don't know what the NFL salary cap can look like next year. Some have speculated that it could be down $40 million from where it currently sits. If that's going to be the case and you're not going to get that normal bump where it jumps up $8 to $10 million and you're thinking, hey, let me get my money while the getting's good and I know I'm not going to get $65 guaranteed, but let me take $48 million guaranteed, which you can certainly feed your family and you can certainly take care of your kids and their kids if you're smart with your money. I think there's a chance Chris Jones takes that deal. I'll set my number at 30% that he comes to that conclusion and he ends up signing less than what market value would dictate he's worth.
So it's going to come down to a couple of things with Chris Jones. Does Chris Jones want to make as much money possible and support his family for generations and be incredibly wealthy? Or does he want to still make a ton of money and be incredibly wealthy and still have generational wealth, but maybe not make top dollar? Then you could do that here in Kansas City. And then you're going to win titles and play with Pat and help your legacy. And probably, if we're being honest with ourselves, give yourself a damn good chance to end up in the Hall of Fame. But if you're a Bengal or a Brown or a Buck or a Bill, I don't know why I said all B teams, but if you're just a different team other than the Kansas City Chiefs and you're Chris Jones, then you probably don't win another Super Bowl or at least have as good of a chance because you don't play with Pat and Andy and all this talent around you. So what's it about, brother? Is it about the money or is it about the legacy and titles? If I'm Chris Jones, and I'm just being dead honest with you, I would have handled it much more abrasive than he has, and it probably wouldn't have got me anywhere. But Chris Jones is 25 years old with 25 sacks the last two seasons. He's been healthy, and I think he's the second-best defensive player in the league behind Aaron Donald. And he's actually stayed pretty quiet and hasn't pouted very much, considering kind of what I would do. So I think that Chris Jones has handled this about as well as he possibly could. The question is, do you want to win titles and get in the Hall of Fame and stay in Kansas City, take a little bit less? Do you want to make the most money you can? Then go somewhere else.
Yeah, but I do think He's in that middle, though. He's already won a championship.
Correct.
So if you're looking at your list and you're thinking like, yeah, winning two or three is really cool for Pat. It ain't going to be really cool. I don't think Chris Jones is going to the Hall of Fame. He's a fantastic player. I just don't think he's a Hall of Fame player. So if you're thinking, hey, I've already won my one. I've made way less than I should be making now at this standpoint. And with the uncertainty of what's going on, and I want to try to make as much money as I can. I'm not certainly going to fault anybody for doing that, especially in a game like football where your chance to get this deal, he ain't getting two of these contracts. Like Mahomes would have got two of these deals.
At least.
If he had signed a normal deal, he would have got 4 years and then could have got another 4 years and then could have got another 3 years. Chris Jones has one shot at this thing. He has one shot at making that contract that sets everybody up. I'm certainly not going to fault any NFL player for taking that shot. So if Chris Jones says, no, I don't want to make less than what market value is, I'm going to roll the dice that I think I can get that. So my play is going to be, I'll sign for the 16 now. You guys know when I'll show up 10 days before camp starts. You know I'm going to be in physical shape. You know I'm not going to be a problem. I'm going to put my head down and work. Next year, hey, I'm not showing up. I played the 1 year on the franchise tag. I'd like to be traded. Move me to a situation for a team that wants to pay me what I'm worth. I won't fault him for playing that either. I've said this the entire time. If his point is to get what he would get in normal free agency, that contract's not coming from the Kansas City Chiefs. So if you really want to be here, you're going to have to make 85% of what you would have made and be happy with it. Can you be happy with it? That's only a question he can answer.
And a lot of this I've had to choose, you know, we could make more money living in, you know, California, but it's a more expensive lifestyle, but they got beaches, or you can live in a great place like Kansas City and not make as much money at your job, but you don't have to spend as much on everything and less taxes. So we've all got these decisions to make. I just think for the Kansas City Chiefs, I would be very, very surprised if we're talking about in the next week. I mean, we'd essentially be talking about within 10 days, the Chiefs pay out not only the highest contract in the history of the NFL to the most important player in the history of the franchise, but also figure it out with Chris Jones. It just feels like a little bit too much on the plate. Now, maybe they end up figuring something out last minute, and maybe Chris Jones takes a little bit less than he's worth, but I think it's important to note what you said, that he already won a Super Bowl. Like, how many guys in their career chase a Super Bowl for 4, 5, 6 years or a championship? Kevin Durant, been in the league for 6 or 7 years. Then it's like, oh, well, I'm getting old. I don't like hearing, well, he's the best to have not won a title, so I'm going to go somewhere else. Guys do it all the time. Chris Jones has already got that Super Bowl, so it's not like he's going to go somewhere and has to say, I want to play for a team that's got a chance to win a Super Bowl, or I want to play for a really good team. He can just be honest. I want to play for the team that's willing to pay me the most money because I've already won a Super Bowl, because the alternative to that is just to stay in Kansas City.
Coming up in just a little bit, we'll go inside the mind of the machine. Let's go inside the mind of the C-Dot here. I've been trying to tell you guys to hop on board with these Kansas City Royals. And you guys continue to scoff at me and and do all these things that don't exhibit hope and faith in the Kansas City Royals. I've been trying to tell you guys that. This is your last opportunity. I'm not asking you guys again. If you want to be on this train, hashtag Hope Harrison at C.Hope, I'm allowing it. Bleacher Report is on it. MLB Network, they're on it.
Yeah. New manager Mike Matheny, a chance with a fast start for Kansas City to say, hey, let's push in and go for this.
Matt, I'm glad you brought that up, because there is a team that is going to shock the world. Not necessarily be a postseason team, but it'll be a lot better than you think. When you think about teams playing in empty ballparks, you need self-motivators out there. And a lot of these teams that are so-called younger, lacking experience, it's an opportunity in a short season for them to really show their stuff.
Yeah, I mean, you get an opportunity to play against big leaguers, right? And this is the hunger factor. And we're going to come down to that. There's no doubt in my mind with this schedule and with the virus still floating around, we don't know how things are going to happen. The hunger factor is going to be huge. How do you motivate your players, and how the players stay hungry?
That's Harold Reynolds on MLB Network. I'm telling you guys, just believe. The same way you believed in 2003. The same way heading into 2004, you all believed. We got really excited about a baseball team that won 83 games. We were convinced that team was making the playoffs the next year. In a normal season, no, the Royals would not make the playoffs. The Royals would probably win 75 games. We ain't talking about a 3 month or 4 month journey. We're talking about being hot for 3 weeks and being average the rest. That's a low bar to clear. I'm only going to give you guys one more opportunity. Hashtag Hope Harrison or at C.Hope. If you're not getting on board now, I'm not letting you on the bandwagon.
Well, thanks for the opportunity, Hope. I really appreciate that. First of all, the belief year of 03 that you're talking about, you remember how that finished?
The 03 year?
Yeah.
But I don't know if that's fair, though.
Why?
The 03 team would have made the playoffs under this circumstance. If we go back and look at 60 games, I'm going to guess that the Royals would have won their division.
Oh, we're playing that game.
Games.
I thought we were playing the whole season.
I'm talking about this upcoming season.
Okay.
I am talking about the whole season. The whole 2020 season.
Right.
I ain't talking about the 2019 season or the 2021 season. I'm talking about the Royals having a chance in 2020.
All right.
This year's season is 60 games.
All right.
Not 162
That's
games.
Fair.
It's 60 games.
After 60 games, that team was great. That team might have been the best team in the league after 60 games.
And that team we saw over the course of 162, not good enough to make
in
the playoffs.
In fact, they finished 7 games out and didn't even finish second in their own division. They finished in third.
Over 60 games.
They were great.
Fun,
great,
exciting.
Awesome.
We were all in on that team. That's all I'm asking the 2020 Royals to be.
Okay.
Nothing more, nothing less.
I appreciate you offering me the chance to get on the train. And maybe I'm going to be late to the train. You know, maybe I'm going to have to pick it up at the next stop or something like that. If they get out the gates 5-2, because the first week of the season, they're on the road. So they got 3 in Chicago, 4 in Detroit. And if they're 5-2, hell, if they're 4-3, then I'll ask, man, is there any room left on that train? But right now, that train looks to me like, have you ever rode the Amtrak, C-Dot?
Like, I have once.
It's all right. It's a little bit rocky, and you know, there's not that great of food, and the bathroom's very suspect, and the seats are only kind of comfortable. Like, I don't really want on your train is what I'm saying. It's basically an Amtrak, and if you give me a free ticket, then I'll probably go to Chicago, but if not, I'm just going to fly or drive.
You know what they call people like you?
What?
Bandwagon. That's exactly what you described.
No.
Said I'm not on now, but if I see that they're good, I'll hop on. You're a new money Royals fan,
no.
And that's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. Rob, am I wrong here? Did he not basically verbatim describe what a band? Hey, I'm not going to be in on the beginning, but let them get off to a hot start, and then I'm on board. What makes... So what's different than about being a bandwagon fan than what you described?
I ain't getting on the Amtrak. It's just not that comfortable when I've got better options. Again,
I'm talking about what makes you different than a bandwagon fan. A bandwagon fan is not on board, sees them get hot in August and September, then it's fun to go to Royals games, and then shows up at the wild card game dressed in blue. That's what you're doing.
I get criticized for saying the Kansas City Chiefs are going to go 14-2 and Patrick Mahomes is going to win 4 or 5 Super Bowls, and people text in and call me a homer. You say I got my red shades on, but you're allowed to come on here and say that this Royals team with this pitching staff is going to make the playoffs based on...
I've never said they're going to make the playoffs.
Okay.
I've never said
that's
that.
That's fair.
I've never said they're going to make the playoffs.
It's going to be
I said have
better
hope.
Than...
I said have hope and believe
but
they have a chance.
But you keep saying words and not backing it up. It's kind of like our finances. Like, the dollar's not worth anything if there's not any gold backing it up. What evidence do you have backing up what you're saying?
My belief. My hope.
Okay.
The same way that any sports
so
prediction.
Faith. So you're going Eric Berry on me here.
Of course. What else can we do?
All right, cool.
Isn't that what a prediction is? A prediction is based in hope.
No, a prediction usually has legs behind it. Like, the reason I think this is going to happen is because of A, B, C, D, and E.
Why do you have Arizona making the playoffs this year?
Because I think that adding DeAndre Hopkins in another year for their quarterback, Kyler Murray, is going to be huge.
But you haven't seen DeAndre Hopkins play with Kyler Murray, right? You're hoping and expecting that it's going to work. I'm hoping that Salvador Perez is going to be good this year. I'm hoping that Adalberto Mondesi takes a step forward. I'm hoping that Jake Junis keeps it together. We're playing the same game here.
Are we saying that Jake Junis is the same as DeAndre Hopkins? That the chances are that Salvador Perez has the same equivalent season that DeAndre Hopkins has this upcoming year?
I'm just saying, I didn't know. I guess I just didn't know in this scenario that football was like NBA Jam. That basically is the quarterback and the number one wide receiver. You've never told me about their defense. Now
I love their defense.
Now you're on
Chandler Jones?
Now name somebody else.
John Jones' brother? I can't.
Patrick Peterson plays on that
team.
Yeah,
that guy.
Let's go inside the mind of the machine.
By the way, the 03 Royals were 500 at the 60-game mark, so let's not oversell their
Tell
greatness.
Tell him, Rob. He got too excited.
They were 30 really? And 30 and 4.5 games back.
Then they must have got
Then they got real
they
hot.
Got hot.
They got real
they
hot.
Were up, they were up 7.5 games at the All-Star break, so they must have got really hot there before the
they
break.
They went crazy hot right up in the All-Star break,
no,
yes.
That team started off crazy, too.
They started off 11-1, and they at 60 games, they were 30-30.
So they were 9-0 out the gates.
Oh. So, in hindsight, why do we ever like this team? It was hot. Meh. hot mess.
Because they were 9-0 and the Ken Harvey walk-off and Mike McDougal.
And we also liked him because the Royals from 1990 until 2014 gave you little to be excited about. So when they gave you anything to be excited about, you hopped on it.
In game 60, a guy named Rick DeHart lost for the Royals. Anyone remember him?
His damn it, tenure? DeHart. No, I don't. It's been 10 years since LeBron James made the decision to take his talents to South Beach. Looking back on his time there, would you say that it was a disappointment or maybe a success or maybe a little bit of a disappointment?
I mean, I think it was a success. The only reason I would say it's a disappointment is not winning that 2011 has ended up being a bigger knock on LeBron than anything.
That was the Dirk finals?
Yeah. So let's say,
how the hell does that happen?
Like, I would say, I think we view LeBron's career differently if they win in 2011 and Ray Allen misses the shot. Like, if we just switch those two things, LeBron plays really well the first time. They then win the second. So then that's the two back-to-backs. Ray Allen misses. They then get smoked by the Spurs, where I thought it was kind of obvious that Wade was over. Like, Wade was done being a legitimate number two you can win a championship with. I think we view LeBron's career entirely different. But that first series and how poorly he played, I think is really left a sour taste in people's mouths.
That would give him the same amount of finals, though. You're just taking one, trading it with the other. The problem is that, what's he been to, 9-1-3?
I think people look at it where he played poorly in 2011. He is the reason they lost in 2011. I don't think that would have been the case if Ray Allen misses that jump shot. I don't think we look at it like LeBron's the reason they lost the series.
So Carrington's coming to my place later on tonight after the show because we're having a big MLS party. We can't wait for that game, Rob. You want to come over and join us?
I challenge you to name either of the teams playing tonight.
It's mm-hmm. The Orlando soccer team.
Mm-hmm. The Orlando soccer team is correct.
Versus, I want to say, was it Miami?
That's the city. What's the name of the team?
They got to be SC, no, FC, Inter.
No.
Milan.
Not
Miami,
Milan. It's not
the
Milan.
David Beckhams. Is Derek Jeter on that team? You don't even know what they're called.
Inter Miami.
Oh, okay.
I mean, you know Rob Dose.
I'm legitimately watching this tonight, nerds.
Super Bowl's in
Miami.
That's
like coming to you and be like, hey, that Buffalo football team, you don't know their name. You know Rob.
No, it's like
name.
Going to him and be like, hey, who's the axe murderer? Sean be like, fall over himself to tell you the UFC fighter.
You say something about Vanderlei Silva. Again, let's see what happens.
That's the equivalent.
So the Super Bowl was in Miami, and so was Raheem Mostert because he played for the 49ers.
We was there, too.
We were.
It was a great time.
Oh, it was a great time.
I feel like that was the last time I was happy.
Bro, I second that.
When you really think about it, I feel like that last week was the last time I was happy.
Like, I'm trying to think. The parade, which came right afterwards.
It was cold. It was cold, and we were inside the whole time.
We had a great view, though.
No, we had a great
view. Unbelievable view.
We had a great view.
I like the parade. Anyway, how valuable is Raheem Mostert since he's asking for a trade?
I think Kyle Shanahan is a genius. I think he's a genius. I think he would just find another Raheem Mostert. He made Matt Breida into a legitimate weapon. He made Raheem Mostert, who is a career special teams guy, into a guy who rushed for 5.6 yards per carry.
I like how you said Burrito's name.
And a guy that we were worried about.
Sounds like you said Burrito, somebody from the South.
Yeah.
Burrito.
Kyle Shanahan will just make another one.
Matt Burrito with guacamole. That's all I got.
We're back again tomorrow. Thanks so much for listening. It's The Drive. Drive home safe.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.